It's about a month since the first significant solar storm activity in 4 years or so, and I'm talking to physicist Mike Wheatland from the University of Sydney about the solar cycle we're in now, cycle number 24. But what's a solar cycle?
A solar cycle? Okay, well, the number of sunspots on the sun is not a constant. It varies in time and on short timescales, days and weeks, months. And it also varies on longer timescales over years. There's this secular variation, long-term variation in the number of sunspots on the sun, the average number.
A sunspot is a region on the surface of the sun with a strong magnetic field, tens of thousands of kilometres in width. They can get as wide as Jupiter. Because of the intense magnetic activity, sunspots usually play host to other effects, like solar flares and what are called coronal mass ejections, bursts of plasma and magnetic fields out from the sun's surface. If you've ever seen something like a mole on the sun, it's probably a sunspot. They come and go.
And the basic regularity that's there is an 11-year cycle. So the number of sunspots has a maximum value every 11 years. And in between, times halfway in between, roughly, there's a minimum for the solar cycle, and you can have intervals of time, extended intervals of time, with no sunspots on the sun during those solar minima.
All right. I mean, how long have we known about these solar cycles for?
They were first identified in the mid-19th century, the 1800s, by Schwab was the person's name. So that's the 11-year solar cycle. Sunspots were, I mean, they've been observed since antiquity. And Galileo, the first users and builders of telescopes like Galileo, used them to look at sunspots on the sun. Mm. Yeah. So they've been studied for a long time.
All right. Now, I understand that this current cycle, solar cycle number 24, is running a bit late in terms of the activity of, you know, the solar activity that it produces. Why is that?
Nobody knows, basically. We don't understand the underlying mechanism. So it relates to the way that magnetic fields are generated inside the sun. And we know that there's a couple of different effects going on there. The strong magnetic fields are produced by the rotation of the sun and the particular way that it rotates, a funny way. And then also the fact that the outer one-third of the sun is in continuous motion inside the sun. There's this convection that's occurring, this bulk motion of the fluid, the gas. So those two effects together lead to intensification of the magnetic field at localised spots on the surface, the sunspots, and that leads to the solar cycle over so there's some sort of underlying periodicity in how those magnetic fields are generated, an 11-year periodicity, but we don't understand it. And so given that, it's, you know, nobody can really say why this one is running a bit late.
Of course, more solar activity doesn't just affect the sun, it affects us. Mike Wheatland.
There's a new area of research called space weather, which is what the local effects are in our local space environment of these dynamic events that occur at the sun that are produced by sunspots. So some of the things that can happen are that you get increased numbers of energetic particles in our local space environment that can damage satellite electronics pose hazards, radiation risks for space travellers and even for people on polar flights, it turns out, for in particular the cabin crews on polar flights who do a lot of flying, because those accelerated energetic particles can make it down into the Earth's atmosphere. But basically, you don't get more energetic particles at the Earth. That's stopped by the Earth's magnetic field, the so-called magnetosphere.
Okay.
But there's a whole zoo of effects, in fact, that occur.
This could, you know, potentially have big effects for military communications.
Well, the military uses shortwave radio communications, and there's a very immediate effect whereby the increased short wavelength radiation, now I'm talking about electromagnetic radiation, so X-rays and UV, that increased radiation due to solar flares increases the ionisation of the upper atmosphere, and the shortwave radio is no longer reflected, so it leads to blackouts in shortwave radio, and that various people use that in the military.
This happened in southern China just last month. A Class X solar flare, the largest category, disrupted shortwave radio frequencies for days.
Yeah. How would this increased period of solar activity have an effect on electricity companies, for example?
Yeah, so there's another one. In that I mentioned the Earth's magnetosphere, and also the upper atmosphere of the Earth, there's an ionized gas there. So electrical currents can actually flow in that ionized gas. And they flow in response to the magnetic field that's there. And you can get this, you get these events that occur at the Sun, the coronal mass ejections. They propagate through space, take a couple of days, get to the Earth, run into the Earth's magnetosphere, and lead to larger electric currents that are flowing around. And then this effect, induction, leads to currents at the surface of the Earth in circuits and things like power company circuits. And so that's led to some of these circuits being disrupted.
One famous example of this was Canada in 1989, where a solar storm knocked out Quebec's entire power grid. But the real doozy occurred back in 1859, causing telegraph systems all over Europe to fail. Light displays, like the Aurora Borealis, were seen all over the world.
Is it something that we need to be worried about in any way?
Well, I think a lot of people are worried about it. In fact, in the US, there's a considerable amount of funding, research funding, that's available in this area, in space weather. There's a big NASA program called Living with a Star, which has hundreds of millions of US dollars available. And they've axed a number of programs, but there's no sign of axing this one, because people are concerned. There was a recent paper, I think it was 4 years ago now, that pointed out that if we got an event that is sort of, say now, a couple of hundred year scale event, like the worst so-called solar storm that's been observed in the last couple of hundred years.
He's talking about the 1859 storm here.
If that occurred now with all of our electronics, in particular the communication satellites, it would do tens of billions of dollars worth of damage. Now, there's a fairly small chance. As I said, it's sort of several hundred year event. You have to wait that long. These things are essentially random. But if that happened at this next solar cycle, because we've now got all this expensive hardware in these orbits and it's a bit vulnerable, then that's the sort of damage that could be done.
But it's not all bad. For solar gurus like Mike, it's been a long wait for some more action on the sun.
I think for the nighttime astronomers, you know, you're regular looking at stars, galaxies and that, they think the sun gets in the way. But for the solar ones, we love it. You know, this is the exciting time, the maximum of a solar cycle. It's all happening. We've got this beautiful new observatory, the Solar Dynamics Observatory, that is now bringing back some fantastic new data. And at the same time, there's a great Japanese satellite that was put up a couple of years ago, Hinode, with terrific instruments on it. So the data is better than ever, you know, and there's been nothing to look at for a couple of years, and now there's all this stuff going on. So it's absolutely terrific, I think.